Saying hello again to Quincy Health Commissioner Ruth Jones for an update on all things health related in the city of Quincy. Ruth, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Joe.
Here we are again, teleconferencing still.
I know, I'm getting very good at Zoom. Very good.
Yeah, we're all learning new skills that we never thought we could, that's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm kind of liking the Zoom meetings. I can stay right at my desk and just take care of business, so.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There's a lot of positive to it, for sure. I do miss seeing you in the studio, though, so hopefully we can do that again soon.
Me too.
I thought this would be a great time just to check in with you. We're, you know, approaching the new school year now. Summer's slowly coming to an end. Just to kind of get a refresher as to where we stand in Quincy when it comes to the virus.
Yeah, so right now, as of yesterday, our numbers were total number of cases from the beginning of the pandemic are 1,472. We've had 1,257 people recover, 52 people that were referred out to other cities that started out as our patients but actually lived in other towns or cities, so we referred them out. Total 135 deaths. We haven't had a new death in probably a month or more. And then active cases as of yesterday were 28. So we kind of teeter around 4 to 6 cases a day. If you saw the governor's new map with all the different colors, we're in the yellow, which is the moderate zone. And to get into the green, you have to be under 4 cases a day. So we're kind of right on the line. We've gotten 4 cases today. And so we're hoping that, you know, cases will continue to either stay at the level that they're at or go down. We'd like to get out of the moderate zone, but we'll see. You know, the virus dictates the numbers, so we'll take a look at that. But we did see a little uptick after the 4th of July, and when phase 3 opened, we went from probably a month and a half ago from 6 or 8 active cases, and then we shot up to about 40 or 50 active cases. And we're down now to about 28. We go around 28 or 30 active cases. So we're maintaining. Not as good as I'd like to see it, but it could be much worse.
Yeah. When you say an active case, is that actually someone who has actual symptoms or just tests positive?
It's someone who tests positive, who's actively being isolated or quarantined, whichever way you want to, you know, use the term. But it's an actual active case that some have symptoms, some don't, but they're actually being quarantined and we're still monitoring them at this point. Once they get off of the isolation / quarantine, then they become they go into the recovered category.
Okay. So I think that's probably interesting to clear that up. Some people here, yeah. You know, number of active cases. What does the active case mean?
Yeah. It's just someone who's right now still in isolation or quarantine. Usually it's a 10-day quarantine for an active case. Okay. With the last 24 hours of that 10th day that they have resolving symptoms and don't have a fever and not taking any medication. And so once they finish that isolation quarantine, they go right into the recovered category.
Okay. And is the testing still going on in Quincy, the two sites, the testing sites?
It is. The testing's going on. Manet still has their testing site, and I believe Harvard Pilgrim still has their testing site. And there's a lot of private labs that are doing testing, different hospitals that are social hospitals still doing, Milton Kearney still doing testing. So the testing sites are there. I think maintaining a good amount of people coming through. So, mm-hmm.
Who do you think should be tested? You know, how do you determine if you should get a test or not?
So there's still criteria. Not everybody can just walk in to be tested. There's still criteria that you have to abide by, and the criteria right now is if you are having symptoms. That you think might be COVID symptoms, you should be tested. Or if you are a close contact to a confirmed case. the state recommends that you be tested. So if someone in a friend or your family that you know you've been in contact with becomes a confirmed case, then you should then be tested. And then also you'll have to quarantine because you're a contact to a case. There's certain guidelines that you have to follow for that. But those are the two categories that we use for just walk in asymptomatic and be tested. There are some private labs or private health centers that might do testing just because you want to be tested. Those places usually charge you out of pocket to have that done. Oftentimes insurance may not pay. The other newer category for testing is those that are traveling, that they need to be tested. If you are traveling and you come back to Massachusetts, they need to be tested 72 hours before they come back to Massachusetts or before they return. And so they would have to be tested where they're coming from. If you're traveling to somewhere else that requires that same thing, then you need to be tested 72 hours before you arrive in whatever city or state you're going in. There are a few exemptions, but that would be that third category that might require testing.
Okay. And since we last talked, there was a high-profile case, obviously, at one of the Quincy High School graduation ceremonies. Did anything ever come of that? I know there was contact tracing that happened after that situation. Did that resolve itself?
It pretty much did. We did have another family member that became positive secondary to that original case. But as far as people at the graduation, we got no contacts that came back positive from that particular incident.
Okay, good to know. And good that all those precautions that were taken worked, it seems.
And that's I think, the most important thing. If I, you know, I say it all the time, and I'm kind of like a broken record, but if you're wearing your mask and you're social distancing and you're trying to stay 6 feet away from people and you're washing your hands, those three things are the three most important things to stop the spread of this virus. And the more, I know people hate wearing masks and they hate keeping their 6 foot distance, but the more we practice this, the quicker we are going to get rid of this virus, and hopefully in combination with a vaccine, we'll be able to get back to what the old normal was.
Right. Since we last talked, the governor has lowered the number of people for outdoor gatherings from 100 down to 50. So do you think that will help, lower the curve, as it will?
I think it's a good thing that the governor did that. I think that we saw after the 4th of July, from that point on, and as phase three opened, and we're still seeing some gatherings, large gatherings of people on weekends at the beaches, different areas, different venues. And those types of gatherings where there's that many people who are obviously not living in the same home, and are unrelated or related, but from different homes, really can be one of the types of situations that spreads the virus, particularly if they're not wearing masks, they're not social distancing. You could get a lot of cases. All you need is one positive case in those large gatherings, and it can turn out to be a lot of other cases and a lot of contacts to case. And then, so you have one person at a gathering of, 150 people, and that one person might infect a few people there. They go, everybody goes their different ways. And this is how a virus spreads. This is how transmission occurs. And even though people don't think it's going to happen, you may be one of the younger people who are asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. And so you're not realizing you're sick. And so you're not taking precautions. So I think it's a good thing. I am happy the governor did that. Another thing that the governor did was to kind of make it a little bit more restrictive as far as bars in cities and towns. And so prior to this, bars, just a facility that is a bar only, was not supposed to open until phase four. excuse me. And then, so we tried to work with our facility owners, as did many other cities, to see if they could get a retail, you know, food license, and then serve some packaged, prepackaged food while people were there, so that they're not just in there drinking and they're actually eating. And for a while, that kept some of the different bars afloat in many cities. But lately, the governor thought that was not a good idea, and said that a bar masquerading as a restaurant was not going to be allowed. I liked the way he put it because it was a perfect description, I think. And so, unfortunately, we had to close several facilities in the city. We are working with some of them to actually develop kitchens in their bar if they have the room, and be able to serve food that's prepared on site. And that was the biggest thing, that if you are serving alcohol, you have to have food that's prepared on site. You have to order food when you're ordering drinks. And that's the big purpose of this, is that people who tend to just go into a bar may sit and just drink for long periods of time, get too close to each other, stand around, you know, talking and having a great time, but in the interim, getting too close to each other, excessive amounts of alcohol may cloud people's judgment. So they get to social distance or wear their mask. So I think it's a good thing. Again, I think the governor made made a smart move doing this. We're trying to cut down the amount of cases, and they're looking at statistics and finding a lot of particularly younger people, when they do know where they may have contracted the virus, a lot of them have been in large crowds and bars. So, and this is across the country, not particularly Quincy, but across the country. And so the statistics, you know, really tell the governor what he needs to do. And I think it's a good thing. We hate to see any bars go out of business. We are working, you know, diligently with the ones who want to maybe change the bar into a restaurant that actually serves food prepared there. So, you know, we are hoping to help some of the places that have closed down reopen again.
Yeah, I know that some were closed because some of the employees tested positive, others because they were blatantly, you know, violating the mandates and were actually fined. So your department actually has some power now to do that if necessary.
We do, and we are enacting that power. We're working with the mayor's office and police department and the natural resources department to try to control crowds in parks and in recreation centers, and also to work with the restaurants and the bars to make sure they're doing the right thing. Our inspectors are out on weekend evenings doing some inspections to make sure things are going the way they should be. We also inspect all the retail stores too. We go to any complaints that have filed with us, and we will go and inspect those. And if there's violations of COVID-19 guidelines, we will ticket. And we will warn you first. And once you're warned, then you will get ticketed. And we can ticket up to $300 for many of these fines. So these places need to do their part and need to do what they're supposed to do as far as the guidelines.
Sure. Do you think you need to wear a mask on the beach, Ruth, even if you are able to stay 6 feet apart from the next party?
So I know it's hard to do that, and it's hot on the beach, and you're out on the beach, and you're trying to get a tan, and you know you get your face kind of mixed up with white around your. I think that so when mask orders were put out, it was you wear a mask if you cannot social distance.
Right.
And so when you're walking down the street, going for a run, if nobody's around you, you know, when you're not spitting and huffing and puffing, if you're going for a run, that it would be okay to not wear a mask. But I'd like to say with that it's always the combination of the two. A mask plus social distancing are the two best combinations when we talk about trying to thwart the transmission of the disease. I think it's okay when you're on a beach If you're lying on your blanket and, you know, you're practicing the 12 feet between each, you know, blanket or 20 feet or however far you are apart, you take your mask off and you're there. You know, I think you can give yourself a break from the mask. You get up and walk away from your towel, you need to have your mask on. And I think it's very difficult to practice that in certain instances. But I think we need to be very cognizant of what we're doing when we're outdoors and when there's other people around, because we want to stop the spread of this virus. And the only way we're gonna do it is by, again, those combination of wearing your mask, social distancing and washing your hands.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a broken record, but it's so funny. It's the simplest things are the hardest things to do.
Because we're not used to doing them. We're not used to social distancing. I can't tell you how many times in the beginning I would stop myself from shaking somebody's hand when I met them or you know, had to discuss something. Somebody came into the health department, ask a question. It's very difficult to break old habits, but we have to do this. The quicker and the more that we do this, the quicker we get rid of this virus and get back to normal. And I can't stress that enough. Trust me, I don't like wearing the masks either. I think they're uncomfortable. They're hot. I can't talk in them. People can't understand me. But we have to do what we need to do.
Right. Okay, good. I'm glad we're reinforcing that message. I think people can't hear it enough. Can we talk a little bit about going back to school? I know you're on the task force here in Quincy to set some guidelines for that and a decision to be made. Actually, we're taping this the day that the vote will be taken this evening. So where does that stand right now?
So the school department, I have to preface this by saying the school department has worked extremely hard on coming up with the three different plans. You know, they had to come up with a remote plan, a hybrid plan, and an all-in-person plan to submit to the state. And it's an enormous amount of work. Just being on the task force, I've learned an awful lot about the specifics in schools and all the different things that you need to take into consideration, the complicated schedules, keeping kids safe and keeping the staff safe throughout this whole thing is the number one priority. To try to do that and make sure that the kids get an education is amazing. It's just a difficult feat. So I think, I think that they're doing a great job. They'll be voting, I think, tonight in front of the school committee. I've talked with a lot of the school committee members. I've talked with, I'm involved in the task force. So I think that they'll, have information tonight. You're never going to have a plan that's going to please everybody. But whatever they vote on tonight, I can assure you that this school committee, the school department, and all the teachers and the principals involved in this have worked diligently to come up with their best options.
Yeah. What would you say to, parents who are concerned about sending their kids into the buildings?
Yeah. I think we're doing the best that we can possibly do to keep kids safe. And I would say to parents that your child's safety is our number one priority when they're making decisions, as well as, with the school department, safety is number one. So I think that, parents will be able to ask lots of questions. They'll have options of different things that they can do. So I think every parent has to do what they think is best for their child.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that there will be a remote option, regardless of what's voted on, for folks to take advantage of if they really don't want to send their kids to school.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I think that's mandated by the state, actually.
It is. So parents do have a choice in the matter.
Exactly. Should families, for kids who do go back into the school building, should families do anything differently at home?
I don't think so. I think that, I think that if they, vote on something like a hybrid model and there will be kids going into the building, I think there'll be specific guidelines that will be presented by the school department, what they need to do. And I think parents should, if they have any questions, ask, the school department. I'm always here at the health department, but I think we all should be practicing the safety guidelines at home, whether your kids are going to be remote or whether your kids are going to be, going hybrid or however it works out to be.
Okay, good. Yeah, just standard advice, no matter what the situation, right? It all applies. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We talk about another virus, Ruth, as if COVID-19 weren't enough. We have plain old West Nile to talk about, too.
West Nile virus, which would have been an excitable thing years ago, but we're kind of used to this now. We expect. We were notified that there was a positive mosquito pool in Quincy for West Nile virus. This is not a case in a human. This is just a mosquito pool. We expect it. In Quincy, we've had positive mosquito pools in prior years. And it just basically makes us aware that, you know, the mosquitoes that can transmit West Nile virus are in our area. And then we just put out, you know, some more information as far as what you should be doing to mosquito proof your yard and, you know, staying out of certain areas that might be a high risk for mosquitoes. For these types of mosquitoes, you know, fix your screens, don't have standing water, using repellent, you know, staying inside during certain hours when the mosquitoes are most active. It's what we do every year. But when we get a positive mosquito pool, we just want to remind people of what they should be doing. And all that information is actually on our website. The specific steps of what people should be doing, and there's information handouts that we have here at the health department if anybody's interested in them. And it just kind of increases surveillance a little bit more because now we're aware that there's a positive mosquito pool. We are still in the very low risk area for that. So I'm not overly concerned. I expected this to happen, but people need to be careful. We're in the summer, you know, mosquitoes and ticks are out. We're also, you know, looking at Triple E, because Triple E has come out a little bit early. We don't have any Triple E positive mosquitoes here. And we're lucky. Triple E is mostly near freshwater. We don't have a lot of freshwater in Quincy, but we are also vigilant with that because Triple E has been in other cities and towns and other areas and of the state has been a little bit more active the past few years. So we watch that also.
Sure. Is there actual spraying going on for mosquitoes in Quincy? Do you know?
Yeah, we work every year with Norfolk County Mosquito Control, who works through the state. Mm-hmm. We do. You can call the health department to request that your area be sprayed. If you call us by, I believe, noon on Tuesday, it will be sprayed, weather permitting, on Thursday. Okay. That every year. It's the same program we have every year, and Norfolk County has their own program prior to even the spraying where they larvicide certain areas and spray other areas on their own without request. But if you have a request, you can call us at the health department and we can put you on the list.
Okay, very good. Let me talk about a topic that I know you hate.
Okay.
How's the rodent situation in Quincy?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that topic. We are obviously with the warm weather, you know, you see an increase in rodent activity. Nothing worse than we expected.
Okay.
We have a program where we still will, we have an inspector that's dedicated to come out and do, if you have an issue, we'll do an inspection, let you know if you have burrows in your yard. If you have, you know, a lot of people have rodents running through their yard, not burrowing in the yard, might be in a neighbor's yard. You know, we're happy to send our inspector out to see what the situation is. People should be aware that right now, presently, the city will still bait if there is, you have burrows in your yard, if it's a single family owner occupied home. At one time we were baiting everything to try to get control of it. And the cost was substantial to that. We have since have it for single family owner occupied homes at this point.
Okay.
But we will, if you have a two family home and you own and you rent out, we're happy to come down and just look if you want us to see, do you have burrows, and we can give you some advice as to, Are there things in the yard that, or your neighbor's yard that might be attracting or harboring these rodents? And we can give you some advice on what you might do there. And look and see if you have burrows in there and give you some advice on what you need to do to treat that.
Okay. Do you think homeowners should try trapping them themselves?
You know, I always recommend an integrated pest management company because they know the way to do it. They know the safe way to do it. So they put out, bait boxes with rodenticide in it, but they know where to put them, the proper places to put them. Will come out and give you information, if you have bird feeders there, you shouldn't have that. Certain things that are attracting or harboring these rodents. So in combination, I think your best bet if you do have rodents is to have an integrated pest management company come out, take care of it. And a lot of them will come out and just give you an estimate of what you think you need. And you can do it, you can do it or not do it.
Okay. We should, although it's getting toward the end of the season, the beach water testing program is still ongoing, right?
It is. It's still going. Yeah, we go well into September with this. And we're doing okay. The beaches have been looking pretty good so far. We had, one every so often you get one beach that's off. But for the most part, I think our beaches are doing well.
Yeah, we haven't had a whole lot of rain, which, usually contributes to the pollution. So that's a plus. Yeah,
absolutely. But
thankfully, the heat is breaking right now. But I think it's a good reminder for folks to take special precautions when it does get excessively. I actually had a friend that experienced heat exhaustion the day after. He overexerted himself with nausea, vomiting, tiredness, all of those symptoms, and it came down to that's what it was. It was heat exhaustion. So it's a serious thing.
It is a serious thing, and it can even lead to heat stroke, which is a very serious thing people die from. You have to make sure you're hydrated when you're doing anything that you exert yourself in the heat. And sometimes it doesn't take even a lot of exertion, just being outside. If you're older, your body doesn't regulate its temperature as well as it did when you're younger. So you have to be suffering heat exhaustion and heat stroke quicker. So especially in these humid days, when the heat index is up so high, it's humid. When it's humid, your body can't really sweat a lot. And when it can't sweat a lot, it can't cool you off. And so that's when you get into heat exhaustion, heat stroke. So you have to make sure, you're watching what the weather report is, looking at the temperatures, try to do things when it's early in the morning, late at night, if you're out exercising, jogging, gardening in this type of weather, and then go back in the midday when it's really warm, if you can. And you also want to make sure you're hydrating yourself. You're trying to dress, light so that you're staying as cool as possible. Go into air conditioning to give yourself a break. Be cautious and be smart in this weather. People tend to, I know some people have to work outdoors and they're, they should take frequent breaks and make sure they're hydrated and get out of that heat for a while and then go back out. So you have to use common sense in this weather.
Yeah, absolutely. And, who knows what the way this year is going, we may have more heat waves still to go.
Crazy. The weather has been absolutely crazy. Yeah. Everything's kind of upside down this year. So
really is.
I were talking, I'm just waiting on the locusts or something. Come in, but hopefully that won't happen. I think we have enough to keep our hands full right now.
Exactly. For folks who want to reach out to the health department, Ruth, what's some good ways for them to do that?
Sure. So you can call our office at 617-376-1273 and 1274, our front desk people. They're happy to answer questions when they can or refer it to either our inspectors or myself. My direct line is 617-376-1272 if you need to speak with me. I'm usually here. And if I'm not, leave a message and I usually try to get back to you within a day. We all also have information on the city's website, www.quincyma.gov, an entire page with the health department. All our emails are there. So if you feel you need to talk to me send me an email, please do.
Okay. And the actual office, though, are you open to the public or not just yet?
We are open to the public, but you have to wear a mask when you come in. We have a buzzer at our door so that we're not getting too many people. We're trying to control how many people are in here at once, but we are open. We are also in the Kennedy Senior Center. That's where our office is. The Senior Center is not open. So if you go to the Senior Center side of the building, you'll find that is closed. But if you come to, if you're facing the building, the health department's on the left-hand side. There's a buzzer there, and we are open for business. We just let you in one at a time. So.
Okay, great. Anything else we should touch on, do you think, today, Ruth?
No, I think we hit enough, Joe.
It's a lot for people to comprehend, yeah.
It is. Just keep your mask on, keep your distance. Please remember, wash your hands.
And stay home if you're sick, right?
Stay home if you're sick. We don't need you anywhere if you're ill, so
yes. Please. I saw a great billboard the other day that said, don't share your air.
That's really good. That's catchy. Yeah, very good. Very good.
Thanks so much, Ruth.
Thank you, Joe. Nice to see you.
You too. Be well.
Take care. Bye-bye.